Schumann-Eder. Schumann-Eder has a book on, a pamphlet more exactly, on Hilchos Erevin. And here we'll go through the four types of Rishuyos, the four domains on Shabbos. The first domain, which is the simplest one, is Rishus HaYochid, a private domain. Note, private or public ownership have no bearings on the term private domain or public domain with reference to the halachos of Shabbos. A Rishus HaYochid is an enclosed area of not less than four tzvachim, hand breadth, square, approximately 15 inches, surrounded by partitions not less than 10 tzvachim high, at least 36 inches high. Note, when determining the height of partition to permit carrying, it should be l'chatchila, 40 inches, and b'di'avet, or b'shat chatchat, 38 inches. Okay, so that is Rishus HaYochid. The most common example of this, examples of this domain are a house and a fenced in private courtyard. This domain also includes an indented or elevated area of the previous dimensions located in public domain, such as a ditch, manhole, hill, and huge crate. Okay, so all these areas are Rishuyos HaYochid Midaraisa. In other words, all these areas are considered to be a private domain. Irregardless of who the owner is, all these areas are considered to be under private ownership, and the carrying, theoretically, in all these areas should be permissible without any problem. The second Rishus, which is the most problematic, is the Rishus HaRabi, a public domain. A street, a highway, a thoroughfare, or public square frequented by the public, having a width of not less than 16 amos cubits, approximately 28 feet, unroofed, and with no obstruction to traffic at either end. Some poskim do not consider an area to the public domain unless frequented by, or is capable of being frequented by, 600,000 people. In other words, to exclude narrow streets and streets inaccessible to the public, to public thoroughfares, or communities with smaller populations. But many poskim disagree. Okay, this is a subject of some dispute. We'll come to this later on. In other words, there are poskim who hold that the only prerequisite for saying Rishus HaRabim is for it to be a street which is 28 feet wide, on roof, with no access, with no obstruction to traffic at either end. So those are sole parameters. Other poskim hold that there's an additional parameter, one which is very frequently quoted, the parameter which requires 600,000 people to pass to and fro in that thoroughfare in order for that thoroughfare to be considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Again, as you said at the end, many poskim disagree. As we'll see somewhat later on, what exactly constitutes 600,000 people is also a question of some contention. Okay, let's go through the other two. Carmelis, an area which cannot be classified either as Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. This category includes places which, although not having the required conditions to be classified as Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim, are nevertheless liable to be confused with these Rishios because of their similarity, or placed by Chazal into a special category. These include unenclosed areas more than 4 tzvachim square, not bordering Rishus HaRabim, such as fields, unenclosed elevated porches, etc. B, a street less than 16 amos wide, or lacking any of the other characteristics of Rishus HaRabim, such as not frequented by the public, in other words, a dead-end street. C, an enclosed space more than 70 amos, 4 tzvachim by 70 amos, 4 tzvachim, approximately 125 feet square, not constructed as a dwelling place, such as a park. D, seas, oceans, and rivers. E, a roofed area even having the dimensions of a public domain. In other words, for a classic example, that would be a shopping mall. Shopping mall is considered to be a complex. Even though you might have 600,000 people in the shopping mall, nonetheless, since it's roofed over, that's considered to be a Rishus, not a Rishus HaRabim, but rather a Carmelis, right? One of these. That's correct. Inside the buildings. The parking lot might have another din. But inside the building would be a Rishus, so Rishus would be a Carmelis. Same thing. F, a post or hill in a public domain of not less than 4 tzvachim square and whose height is between 3 and 10 tzvachim is a Carmelis. Between 9 and 10 tzvachim high, if used by the public to lean to or adjust bundles, it is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, that's a Carmelis. Now, Carmelis, it's important to realize most Rishonim or the Carmelis is a Rishus HaRabbanan, not a Rishus HaRaisa. I mean, a Raisa is no such thing as a Carmelis. In essence, anything which is not a Rishus HaRabim, you're allowed to carry it. Midi Rabbanan, Rabbanan came and said no. There's such a concept as a Carmelis, which is a place where, although midaraisa you can carry, midrabbanan we say, lest you get confused with the Rishus or confused with the Rishus HaRabim, you cannot carry in this area called the Carmelis.
Thanks. You said with the stroke of the araisa, anything that would be permitted to carry any place that isn't the Rishus HaRabim?
That's correct.
You wouldn't have to be limited to the Rishus HaRabim?
That's correct. Okay, is that clear?
I'm sorry.
Want to repeat yourself?
My question was, strictly the Araisa, you could carry anywhere that wasn't a Rishus HaRabim, so you couldn't
theoretically. Yes, you can carry from your house into your street, right. Now, that's assuming your street is less than 28 feet wide. Again, to avoid...
from one house to another house.
Right, or let's say an alley, which is less than 28 feet wide. That's right. Theoretically, you'd be allowed to carry across the alley into your neighbor's house, across the alley without any problem of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. Okay? For a Mokum Torah, an exempt domain, places which have neither the characteristics of the domains of the Torah, Rishus HaYachim, Rishus HaRabim, nor those of a Karmelis. Examples, an enclosed space in a public domain less than 4 tefachim square and not less than 3 tefachim high, such as a narrow trash can connected to the ground standing in Rishus HaRabim. B, an object more than 3 tefachim high and less than 4 tefachim square located in actual Rishus HaRabim, such as a fire hydrant. C, an indentation in a public domain less than 4 tefachim square and at least 3 tefachim deep. Malkum Ptur, all these areas which are very small, obviously. That's the primary characteristic of Malkum Ptur. They're very small, narrow. These areas are all considered to be neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYachim nor Karmelis. They are neutral ground. In other words, for instance, somebody could carry, you're not allowed to carry from your house into the streets, but you are allowed to carry from your house into a Malkum Ptur. Even Midrabana. Even though Midrabana you can't carry from your house into a Karmelis, you can carry from your house into a Malkum Ptur. Not only that, you're allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim into the Malkum Ptur. So what happens is that you can have somebody carrying from a house to a Malkum Ptur and carrying from Rishus HaRabim to the same Malkum Ptur. It's not a contradiction, because the Malkum Ptur is neutral ground. It's open to everybody. That, in distinction from to a Karmelis, a Karmelis, nobody's allowed to carry in Midah Rabbanan. You're not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYachim to a Karmelis, nor from Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis, nor even a Karmelis itself, which is another point. Midoraisa, you're not allowed to carry 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. Pick up an object, move with it approximately 6 feet, you're Chayav Chatos. You have to bring a sacrifice. However, in the Midoraisa, in a Karmelis, all this would be permissible. Midorabanan, it's not permissible in a Karmelis either. You can't pick something up in an alley and carry it 6 feet.
You given a practical example that Malkum Ptur is? You said like...
Well, the example he gave is a fire hydrant. Fire hydrant, which is, let's say, more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and less than 4x4 tefachim square.
What advantages then?
Well, very simply, if you're carrying something, let's say, and you need a place in which to put down your object, because you're not allowed to carry, you should not put the object down in Rishus HaRabim. Because, let's go backtrack a little bit. There's a, like we said before, there's a halacha, one is not allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachim. Okay, if you're standing. This is the Rishus HaYachim over here. That's your house. And here's the Rishus HaRabim. You can't carry into the Rishus HaRabim any object, right? Midrabanan, the same halacha applies to a Karmelis. Now, what happens if somebody actually walked out of his house carrying an object into Rishus HaRabim? So he has several choices, some which are good and some which are bad. One choice which is bad is to stop. The person is not supposed to stop. Why? Because what we say is halacha is comprised of 3 separate activities. Does anybody know what they are? Except Dr. Spindel, comes to Daf Yomi. Who else? Does anybody else know what these 3 activities are? Akira, that means removing the object from its original location. That's literally uprooting. Halacha, that's carrying. And Anocha, which is the placing down. In order to be chayav, in order to have transgressed in this with the right, so you have to do all 3 things: akira, halacha, and anocha. So if you went from Rishus HaYachim into Rishus HaRabim, then the best thing to do is to keep on moving, not stop. Because if you stop, that's considered to be hanocha. Even if you haven't actually physically put down the object, by stopping, you'll have put the object down. By its very nature, stopping is considered to be hanocha. So the best thing to do is keep on moving. But if you can't keep moving all day, you must get rid of the object. Besides that, there's an issue of the Rabbanan to move 4 amos carrying an object in Rishus HaRabim too. So although it's better to transgress in Rishus HaRabbanan and keep moving than transgress in Rishus HaRabbanan and put the object down, you want to get rid of the issue of the Rabbanan too. So the best possible thing you can do is go back into the Rishus HaYachid without stopping, put the object down in the Rishus HaYachid again.
The same one.
Also, when you put it down, since you did traverse distance in Rosh Hashanah, it's best to do Hanocha Kelachayad. Where is Hanocha Kelachayad? Throw it over your shoulder. Put it down with your elbow. Do it with a shinui. Not a normal fashion you'll normally do it. If you can't do that, the next best thing is to put it down on a Makom Tur. Because a Makom Tur is neutral ground. Anybody can use a Makom Tur.
Keep on walking
until you find you find a fire hydrant, put it down on a fire hydrant.
What do you do on the day that says that every time your foot comes down, that's considered on an offering?
We don't bask him like that day. That's what we do with it. That's Benazah. He holds Mahalach Gomi Dami. We don't bask him like him. That solves that problem. So, there is a day which holds that Rambam Paskins like Benazai, but fortunately we don't Paskin like Rambam in any event, so we're safe. Okay, so these are the three Rishuyos. For our purpose, Carmelis is considered to be the same as Rishus HaRabim, unless you build an Eruv around the Carmelis. Now, this is the major distinction between Rishus HaRabim and a Carmelis. These are Abonim, the Carmelis and Rishus HaRabim have the same halacha. So what is the difference between Rishus HaRabim and a Carmelis? Only that around the Carmelis you can build an Eruv. Around Rosh Hashanah, you cannot build an Eruv. There is a way to be Matur Rosh Hashanah, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. What is the classic way of building an Eruv around the Carmelis? What do we do?
Use wire.
What is that called in the halachic nomenclature? Yeah, what's the shape? Surah Pesach. The logic behind the poles and the wires, is anybody familiar with the concept of poles and wires? What you do is you build a whole series of poles, you put wires across the top, and that surrounds your area. That's considered to be like a wall. Now, it's not really a wall. Why should it work? So there's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. In other words, we have a Mesorah from Sinai that such a wall built out of the poles with wires on top is considered to be a Tzurah Sapesach. It has the shape of a door frame. Since it has the shape of a door frame, therefore it's considered to be a wall in and of itself. This wall is sufficient in order to be Matir Kabbalist. Okay, now let's take a look at that. That's on the second page. If you turn the page over, we'll learn briefly the halacha, some of the halachas of Tzurah Sapesach. We're going to look at the boxed areas, which are important. How large a space can the Tzurah Sapesach allow? We have seen that although El Korah Lechi, etc., are only permissible to permit a space less than 10 amos, we won't get into what a Korah Lechi is tonight. We'll leave that for a different time. A Tzurah Sapesach may permit an area even if the space is wider than 10 amos. Now, where does this 10 amos come from? Our local 10 amos comes from originally from a case of a wall. If you have a wall like this, let's say in front of your house, in front of your front yard, and another wall over here, and back here is your yard. Okay, roughly drawn. So this wall permits you to carry in the entire yard, as long as this breach here is not more than 10 amos. If this breach is not greater than 10 amos, then that's okay. If the breach here is more than 10 amos, then you can no longer carry in your yard. Without some sort of Tzurah Sapesach in front here, what you would do is, you put up a pole, and another pole here, and a wire across the top, and that would be your Tzurah Sapesach. Okay? That works even where this distance from here to here is more than 10 amos. The reason being that a Tzurah Sapesach is considered like a partition which has entrances. In a courtyard, if part of the enclosure is with solid partitions, even if the breaches with the Tzurah Sapesach are greater than the solid portions, do you need another? And even should there be no solid portions, just the post in each of the corners and a wire along the top, it is permissible. Okay? Now, here comes the major problem, one of the major problems, however. But according to the Rambam, a Tzurah Sapesach is valid to permit a breach is wider than 10 amos only if the actual solid, in other words, walled portion, is greater than the space which is occupied by a Tzurah Sapesach, which is called Omen Ruvel Aparus. For example, a wall 55 amos long is composed of a solid wall 15 amos long, a space 25 amos, and another solid wall 15 amos long. A Torah of Pesach is built over the 25 amos of space. This will be permissible even according to the Rambam, since the two solid sections are greater than the space occupied by the Torah of Pesach. Okay, so you have that little picture. 15 and 15 is 30. 25 in the middle, that's less than 30. So that's okay even according to the Rambam. However, according to the Rambam, we are never, ever going to be able to build an Eruv in our cities. Why? Because obviously, if you try and go around an entire city, you're not going to be able to make a wall which takes over most of the circumference. Let's say your city is a mile by a mile. So the perimeter of your city is going to be 4 miles. You would have to have at least 2.1 miles of that perimeter, solid wall or fence. It's almost impossible. So there is an alternative according to the Rambam. What's the alternative? Make a pole every 10 amos. That's also impossible. That means every 20 feet, you're going to have a pole. There's no way you can do that. The cost is prohibitively expensive. So the moment one passes like a Rambam, one cannot have an Eruv built out of a Torah Sabasa. It's impossible. I mean, it's not impossible. It's prohibitively expensive. Okay, that would be problem number one, constructing an Eruv in a metropolitan area. Fortunately, we do not pass them like the Rambam. There are those who are machmir like the Rambam, but we do not pass like the Rambam. We pass them like almost all the other Rishonim, who hold that a Tzuras HaPesach can be matir as great a distance as you'd like. In other words, theoretically, you have a Tzuras, one pole over here, another pole a mile away, have a wire strung across the top, and that's good enough. That'll be matir your entire side. And you can have just 4 wires, one on each side of your city, 4 poles rather, one on each side of your city, and have wires strung between them, and that could be sufficient, and that would make walls on all 4 sides of your city, you could carry within the perimeter. Everything would be fine. That is because we don't pass them like the Rambam. Now, how do we make a Torah of Pesach normally in cities? Does anybody know how they make a Torah of Pesach?
They use a telephone
pole. They use telephone poles. Right. So let's take a look at what a telephone pole looks like. I'm sure we all know, but just to remind ourselves. This is a classic telephone pole. It goes up like this. And then you have a T-bar across the top. It's a classic telephone pole. You don't have to have the T-bar, it may or may not be there. A wire can go over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. So that many can have wires on the side of the pole too. Does anybody...
The wire has to be on the top, not the sides.
Now, here we come to the major problem in using telephone poles around the city. The major problem using telephone poles around the city is that in order to make Torah Pesach, the wire must be directly on top of the pole. According to 99% of the poskim, there are some where makeable, you don't pass them like that. According to most poskim, we say that the wire must be on top of the pole, and the logic is, in a doorway, you don't make the lintel distant from the door frames, right? The door post. You make the lintel right on top of the door post. So if you want to build a Torah Pesach, you're going to have to build the wire right on top. Everybody understands the wires are coming out of the picture like this, right? So in other words, you have to use this wire in order to make a Torah Pesach, which is okay. The problem is that if you ever take a look around the electrical poles in your area, you'll see that frequently this wire across the top is not here. There's no wire across the top. All the wires go on the side. There might not be a T-bar, so all the wires go on the side. There might be a T-bar, but it happens to be that out here, the wood is sticking out the top, so therefore the wires are going across the side. So what do you do when you try and build an Eruv like that? In a city which has a problem like that. Has anybody ever seen one? You're in Chicago, where have you ever seen air? What they do in such cases is they make a stick, or in Israel they use a barrel. Come down here on the side of the telephone pole. This barrel is at least 10 fucking high, which is the minimum height of a wall in Halacha. And we say a principle of Gudasek Mechitza. Has anybody ever heard of that principle before? Gudasek Mechitza means, even though in substance the pole only extends up to here, halachically we see it as extending up to the sky. Therefore, if you see this pole is extending up to the sky, then this wire is right on top of the pole. This wire can now constitute my Tirusa Pesach. I obviated the problem.
So what you said, they have to build out of the pole?
They have to either put a barrel or they can attach a stick to the pole on the side of the pole and do that.
Yeah, but then the shallowest part of the barrel, anybody can move it out?
That's right. That's
the end of your earth.
That's why you have to check it every single Erev Shabbos.
So what's going to stop at Shabbos somebody to move it out?
Because usually they either nail it on or belt it on with a metal belt.
Every pole.
Yes, it's very expensive, but it's much less expensive than putting up your own poles.
Yeah.
That's why they use the telephone company poles.
It doesn't have to be every pole. It could be every
few poles, but it has to be. There have to be poles. There are quite a few of them. Now, this brings up a main. Excuse me? Of course. They have to get, anytime you construct a telephone, as we'll see in a few moments, you have to get, we'll see maybe later actually, you have to get permission not just from the telephone company, but also from the city.
Sure.
We'll come to that a little bit later. Okay? Now, there's a problem which you have to be very careful. Just let me finish one more thing about this. There's a problem which happens very frequently, by the way, when you use telephone poles, which is important to realize, that occasionally what happens to telephone poles, as a matter of fact, not just occasionally, quite frequently, your telephone pole will become like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It'll go like this. Now, even if you have a wire, if your wire is on the side here, and your pole, you put up a pole, you're a good room person, you put up a pole, but now, this is the way your telephone pole well, looks. That's no good. Because you're going to have a good assay goes directly up like this, and the wire is over there. So this A room is possible. Now it's important to realize you have one pole like this in the entire city, your whole A room might be possible. One pole can pop the entire area. That's why every single pole must be checked every single week. But what they do in order to avoid this problem in many cities is they simply extend this pole all the way up to the wire. And that way, even if it's on an angle, the only time I have a problem is when I have this halacha gudatik, because gudatik goes directly up. But if I'm not using gudatik, if I'm using an actual substance of a wall, the wall can even go on its line. That'll be okay. So I could obviate this problem by spending more money, and instead of ending my pole at the height of 10 fucking, pulling them all the way up to the wire on top.
They say you have to extend it, you have to extend it every time, or in case something happens
with Shabbos
itself.
Well, maybe we would get to, if your air becomes possible on Shabbos, then, let me rephrase that. As long as people don't know that the air becomes possible on Shabbos, they can use it. There's the halacha on Shabbos called misasik. Misasik means if somebody thinks they're doing something which is mutter, they have no idea. The classic case is you pick up a blade of grass and you think it was already cut off. It turns out that it's connected to the ground. You're a potter. You're not doing anything wrong. Why? Because meleches machshavas on the Torah. On Shabbos, the Torah uttered ban intentional melacha. Now, intentional melacha can even be shogeg, right? If you cut a blade of grass, and you think you're cutting a blade of grass off the ground, you forgot it's Shabbos, that's called shogeg. You don't know it's usher to cut grass on Shabbos, that's called shogeg. But if you think you're doing something which is mutter, because you don't think you're cutting, you think you're picking up a blade of grass which has already been cut by a lawnmower, then, if lo and behold, the blade of grass turned out not to be cut, that's called misasek, and misasek is potter altogether on Shabbos. So therefore, if the Eruv goes down on Shabbos, since people knew before Shabbos that a kosher Eruv, they assume they're involved in an activity which is mutter al pi halacha. Since they're involved in an activity which they assume is mutter al pi halacha, therefore, they're not over anything. So therefore, what they don't know, don't hurt them. Therefore, on Shabbos, the policy of many Rabbanim, among the greatest in the world, is don't tell people if the Eruv is down. Okay? On Eruv Shabbos, you have to check, but when Shabbos begins, you become blind. Now, let's just see this inside. First, I want to go not in order here. Let's first see G and then F. Is the lintel required to rest on the side post? We mentioned previously that there's a principle of good asik. Where there is a partition of 10 tefachim, we consider the partitions prolonged upward. Therefore, when constructing a Tirusa Pesach, the lintel is not required to touch or rest on the side posts. The reason for this is because for sideposts which are less than 10 tefachim high, or even if less than 10 tefachim, but attain a height of 10 tefachim, as explained in C1, we apply the principle of good asik, and we consider the sideposts which are directly underneath the lintel as rising and meeting the lintel. Where the lintel is so constructed that it does not touch the side post, extreme caution is necessary to ascertain that the lintel is directly and exactly above the side post. For even if the lintel is removed slightly from the side post, the Turas HaPesach is not valid. Therefore, it is extremely essential when using a cord or any other thin material for the lintel to tighten it so that it should not sway away from the side post in the wind. In other words, this is another problem. Another problem is that if the wire is not fully attached to the pole and starts swaying back and forth, then you're going to also have a problem that even in this case, if the wire starts coming back and forth, then you're not going to have the wire above the post. That's not going to be good because, again, you're lacking your Turas HaPesach.
If the wire is swaying.
So we pass in to be mankel in that case. In other words, what you're asking is like this. If you have, we're looking now from on top. If you have a pole over here, and the wire is extending atop the pole, it's over here. And the wire sways in the wind like this. Right? So we're mankel in that case.
So say
the Mishkanos Yaakov is machmir, but we're mankel. We say even if it sags down or goes to the side in the wind, as long as it could go straight, that's permissible. There is a different question, interesting question, which is not discussed by many posts, but is discussed by one or two, is what happens if you have, this is a complicated case. You have three telephone poles in a row. One, two, three. Again, we're looking from the top. And you have a T-bar across on each one, let's say. Okay, and here your wire starts out going across the top. And here your wire starts going across the top. And here it goes to the side. What's the halacha in that case? So that happens very frequently in the city. Because they don't care where they put the telephone wires. They don't have to be parallel. They don't have to be straight. So they can veer off to the side very easily. It falls down in the wind once they patch it up wherever they can.
What would be a shiloh?
No shiloh that is good or no shiloh that is bad?
No shiloh that is bad. There's no shiloh.
There are some poskim who hold no shiloh. The is no shiloh that is bad. There are some poskim who say that it's within three tefachim, which in halacha is the shear of, what's the shear of three tefachim? What's that called? Global. It's connected. Anything within three tefachim is something else that's considered to be connected, I think. In other words, if my arm now is within three tefachim of this pillar, that's considered connected to that pillar. So some poskim hold that when it's within three tefachim of straight, it's good. Other poskim say, global only connects. But global doesn't mean that I view it as if it's going over the top. So therefore, it's possible even if it's within three tefachim of the top of the pole. That's what you were assuming before, correct?
I was assuming the same, like with the canvas on the sukkah would be the same problem. A lot of three tefachim, if it blows, makes the wall puzzle. Is that correct?
Right. No, well, that, it is a similar idea, but the most poskim say even if it's less than three tefachim off, there might be a problem. Okay, here, as opposed to canvas by sukkah, where it's within three tefachim, it's okay.
Right.
Here, even within three tefachim, it might not be okay because in the final analysis, it's not a door frame.
I'm a little confused what this case is. Is there a pole and or barrel underneath that?
Underneath here, no. If there would be a barrel, there would be no problem. Right, there would be no problem. Yeah.
Can your wire run from, say, 15 feet above the ground and slope down to, say, 10 feet?
As long as it's above 10 feet. Okay, there are some poskim say it's a maximum angle of 45 degrees. Okay, but as long as it's above 10 tefachim, it's okay. Okay, so that's Turas HaPesach in a nutshell. Okay? Now, again, in our cities, what we do is usually we use telephone wires and we put up posts. In the cities which are more machmir, they put posts all the way up to the wires in order to avoid this question of the telephone poles warping in the bad weather or such like. Okay? Now, this is assuming that our cities are all only karmus. What happens if our cities are considered to be Rishus HaRabim? What's the halacha in that case? So in order to see that halacha, let's look in paragraph F. F is a Turas HaPesach suitable for Rishus HaRabim. Even though Turas HaPesach is considered as a regular partition, wherever it is suitable, in an actual public domain, a Turas HaPesach will not suffice to permit carrying, even if only 10 amos wide. For Rishus HaRabim, blossos are required. Blossos are doors placed at both ends of a highway or other form of public domain, and are closed, or according to some views, even if they are capable of being closed at night. Two, if it, here comes a very interesting halacha. If a Turas HaPesach is used in a city, even if it's considered an actual Shusarabim, even though one who is a Baal Nefesh, one who keeps the halacha stringently, should not carry by himself, that's bad English, should not carry himself, yet he should not admonish those who do carry if there is a Turas HaPesach. You know why? What principle in halacha are we invoking here? There's a Turas HaPesach. Midaraisa, a Turas HaPesach is a wall. Midarabanan, you need doors, you need glossos. What they are, we'll see in a moment. Nonetheless, if there is a Turas HaPesach in the city, I can't tell you you're a Russia for carrying. Why? Because the principle of Mutav Shu Shogigin, volume is heated. Best to let the masses sin unintentionally rather than rebuke them and have them sin intentionally. Okay, so that's the halakha principles involved. They're allowing people to carry in a city when there's only a Turas HaPesach surrounding it. It's awesome. But we don't tell people halakha they're not going to listen to them. The question is now, what exactly are glosses? Now, the glosses are a matter of very much contention. How exactly glosses work? As we well know, let's say you want to string up doors across, let's say for argument's sake, theoretically Devon or Peterson. And you came to the city of Chicago and said, listen guys, I got to close this door every night for halachic reasons. They would not be particularly pleased to you, nor would they let you do it. So the question is, to what extent do doors have to be closed? How often do they have to be closed? Do they have to be closed? So this is a matter of great discussion among the post. If you are a literal interpretationist, you really take things as written, then you'll say, well, Dallas, a door has to be closed every night. The classic Gemara is, Yushalayim, Yomoli Dasoseni Nolos Balayla, Yushalayim, if not for the fact that its doors were locked at night, would be Rosh Hashanah. So we see that Rosh Hashanah doors have to be locked at night. However, most poskim acharonim say, you don't have to lock the doors at night. They only have to be locked, according to a lot of poskim, for a few minutes a night. Perhaps even only a few minutes a year. Perhaps even not at all. Why not at all? Since they're wheels to be oil, it's kinin olos tami. Since they're theoretically suitable to be locked, they are as if they're locked. Now, what exactly does a dullus look like in our day and age? How do they construct glosses? What they do is they're very interesting. They take a very interesting contraption. I heard of this in the Upper West Side in Manhattan. They're constructing a new area, and they're using the latest technology. What you do is, first of all, like you, Chazanish points out that a dullus is an additional chumrah in Tzuras HaPesach. So you must start out having Tzuras HaPesach. You have your pole over here, and you have your wire across the top. What they do nowadays is they take canisters, and they put the canisters on either pole, and in the canisters you have either aluminum foil, canvas, or wires. Wires which are spaced less than 3 tefachim from each other. And when the wires are placed less than 3 tefachim from each other, again we say the principle of love. And what they can do is, once a year, imagine, Devon is a narrow street. You have to imagine Queens Boulevard in Queens. You ever seen Queens Boulevard? It's how many lanes across?
It's 10 lanes across.
5 lanes each way.
Right, so 10 lanes. So what they would do once a year is they take the aluminum foil or little canvas tarps and have two men, one on each side, and they run across the street with the canvas, and they close it for a few seconds while the traffic light is red, and they run back across and they close it for the rest of the year. That's how they create glossos. And they open it for the keep it open for the rest of the year. That's how they create glossos. Okay, they take this canvas, they spread it across the street like this, and that's cool. That they consider to be a closed dellus.
They can do that actually at night when there's no traffic too, can't they? They don't have.
Oh, sure, they do it at night.
They have to be in the daytime.
They do. Of course, they do it at night. They'd never be able to get away with it. Yes, they do it at night.
They think they run right into the Shigla house.
I heard they do it December 25th. That's when there's the least traffic. So then, in any event, that's the principle of glossos. Now, in order to do this, you have to have a dellus. Some people say on both sides of Shusarabim. Some people say only on one side of Shusarabim. You must have glossos. That's the bottom line wherever you have Shusarabim. The question is, which we'll come to in a few moments, what exactly constitutes a Shusarabim? And that's what's crucial. Again, a karmelis only requires a Tzuras HaPesach. A Shusarabim requires a dellus. If our cities were mostly karmelis, there might have been one or two Rishus HaRabim, then we would have a problem with those, but that would not be a major problem. Perhaps would not be a major problem. We would run into trouble, according to the postman that holds that the Delos literally has to be closed every night. But according to the postman who holds that the Delos only has to be closed for a few moments a year, such as the Orach HaShulchan, who was a very legitimate posek, we wouldn't run into trouble. However, the question is how many blessings we have to put up, and that's what we're going to come to in a couple of moments. If you take a look, though, however, at the second page, let's just go through some of the halachos as they were interpreted in Oak Park, in Detroit, where an Eruv was in fact constructed, based on Heter Reb Moshe. We'll start from the second paragraph of the page. The Eruv in our community is primarily made by using a Tzuras HaPesach. Telephone or cable television wires provide the lintels. That's why cable television was created. Everything was created for a purpose. Cable television was created in order to build the Eruv.
But there's a problem with cable television.
What?
Because the wires don't run on top of the poles. They run in the middle.
Okay. We'll see you in a minute. And our ground molding attaches to the poles provide the vertical posts. Great care has been taken so that the lintel wires pass directly over the vertical post as the halacha demands. The materials we use for constructing the Tzuras HaPesach were purchased from Detroit Edison. These materials are very durable and have a life expectancy of at least 30 years. In the construction of the Oak Park area, we placed the lechi attachments, the vertical posts of the door frame, directly adjacent and beneath the utility wire with the permission of Detroit Edison and Michigan Bell. By this method, no matter how much the pole tilts, the lechi rests directly above the lintel wire. Okay, they avoided that whole problem of the bending pole. There is a dispute in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer whether a partition which is subjected to substantial traffic is still considered valid mechitza. So it's, let's say, three Tzuras HaPesach, you have myriads of people going through. Does that nullify the Tzuras HaPesach, or is it still a valid Tzuras HaPesach? This dispute has great bearing on the building of an Eruv in a city, since heavy traffic passes through some areas of the Tzuras HaPesach. The Rif and Rosh rule, according to the view of Rabbi Yochanan, that traffic in essence destroys the Mechitza, rendering it ineffective. The Rabbam, however, rules like Rabbi Elazar, that traffic has no bearing on the validity of a Mechitza. Both views are cited in Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah interprets that the Shulchan Aruch favors the stringent view. The Bir Aloch advances that, according to Rabbi Elazar, doors closing off the street to traffic are needed by rabbinic enactment to rectify the mechitza. The stringent view holds that the doors need to be closed every night. The more lenient view requires that the doors merely have the potential to close, but need not be closed every night. Okay? The Oak Park Eruv has been constructed with glossos that have the potential to close. Following the second view in the Shulchan Aruch. In this way, a combination of two leniencies is not needed to validate the Eruv. These glossos are stored in cabinets which remain permanently installed on the sides of the major streets traversing Oak Park. Okay, we're going to, the box on the bottom will leave for later, but I want to mention one more word about this problem of Rabim Mevatli Mechitza. The multitudes which pass through nullify the Tzuras HaPesach. In order to avoid this problem in Oak Park, they built glossos on the major streets. Now, there are many postim who hold that, there are Chashulchan among them, that the only type of rabbin which can nullify Tzuras HaPesach are the same rabbin which constitute a Rishus HaRabbin. So if you hold that Eruv requires 600,000, if you hold that a Rishus HaRabbin requires 600,000 people, then in order for the Tzuras HaPesach to be nullified, there must be the potential of 600,000 people passing through your Tzuras HaPesach. In Oak Park, where they built the Eruv, it's very unlikely that would occur. It's very unlikely that you have 600,000 people passing through any one street there.
And how much time?
That we'll get to a little bit later. In a few moments. Okay, it's very unlikely that that will happen. So it's very unlikely that would happen. That would constitute an additional heter, possibly. In other words, where you have less than the rabbin which constitute a Rishus HaRabbin, you also do not have the problem of asking rabbin Bahlin Mechitza. The fact that they go through Tzuras HaPesach is not an issue. In fact, the problem of Rishus HaRabbin and asking rabbin Bahlin Mechitza are congruent problems. Okay? They both appear in the same places. Okay, now, what exactly constitutes Rishus HaRabbin? Here we come to a major area of contention. If we can take a look at the next page. I only photocopied, this is a slip, I only photocopied the Mako view, which is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mako view, this is not intentional. I got, there's somebody else waiting. There's a photocopying machine, so I got nervous and I forgot to copy the whole page. You see, I started outlining a box on the previous page, but it didn't make it. So all you have here is the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim, Shekol She'en Shishim Riba Ofim Bo B'chol Yom, Ein Oshu Sarabi. Some say that any place where you don't have 600,000 people traversing it during the course of the day is not a Rosh Hashanah. So what does that mean? In order for something to be a Rosh Hashanah, you must have from morning till next morning, let's say 24-hour period, you have to have 600,000 people passing through. If you don't have 600,000 people passing through, that's not a Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mechaber says. The Shulchan Mishnah Berurah, however, brings down that this is not necessarily so. Okay? First of all, he says, let's say, see the verb where I began to underline. Olinyan halacha, midas ha-mechaber, the kasav deyazu rak v'shem yesh omrim. The mechaber wrote this opinion only in the name of a yesh omrim. Some say, mashma, it seems, the la halacha, lo svir lekein, he doesn't hold this way halacha l'maisa. Umikom akom, nonetheless, ein banu koach limchos, we don't have the power to protest biyada somchim al deyazu, those who rely on this opinion. The Deyazu, this opinion, Gamkein, also, Lo Das Yechidahi, it's not the opinion of one individual. The Kamosha Kosafi Bir Alocha, like I write in the Bir Alocha, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'chein Sidadu Kam Achronim. And many Achronim stated that, in fact, there is place to be Mako, like the second opinion here, which says you need 600,000 people. V'chol Baal Nefesh Yachmi Latzmo. Anybody who is a Baal Nefesh, which means somebody who is Medaktik and Mitzvah, will be Machmir for himself personally. Now, that's point number one. Point number two is the next on the line, where it says, "B'chol yom chipasti b'chol rishonim ma'omdim b'shita zu." I looked among all rishonim who hold the shita. V'loniz karbidi v'ram tnaizer. Nobody mentions this condition has to be every day. Rakshu metzuyim shom shushim ribo. All they mention is that there should be frequently 600,000 people. Frequently means once or twice a year. Others say frequently means never. But it has the potential to have 600,000 people. In other words, it's possible the street is so large that 600,000 people could theoretically pass through. Maybe it's only 500,000 people, but theoretically 600,000 people could pass through. A street like Queens Boulevard, I doubt you'll have 600,000 people passing there in one day. I doubt if you'll even have 600,000 people passing there any day, but it's a very, very large street. Maybe it could hold 600,000 people if they actually came for parade or such like.
Do you mean it's one spot? Or
no, down the course of the road. Okay, from beginning to end.
From beginning to end or from whatever is within the area?
No, from beginning to end. In other words, if you take, let's take
Western Avenue, you got to go all the way.
Yes, a better example. If you take I-80, you'll go all the way from wherever it starts, New York to California. So, I-80 is a Shusharab and Zoraisa. There you have one. Okay?
When the Mishnah Berurah says that you can be so many on this if you want, but I'll never show you something. How would one, I mean, basically, aims are not put up, particularly covering the Shusharab, you're talking about crossing a boulevard or a street where it's not just somebody thinking of, I want to connect with my neighbor. So you're going to have to go and do some major public effort here. Who would ever sanction an Abram if he? I mean, how does he ever say you can rely on it? And then he says, but don't rely on it. Where's it ever going to get done?
Well, that's why you find a situation a lot of times where a buddy will build an Abram but not carry themselves.
But why would they? Why should they then build the Abram?
Because the Baal Batim want it. I mean, you're entitled to say.
Then it's not a question of don't tell them because they'll be over.
No. This is a different. No. That we said before was a different case. That's a case which is Rosh Hashanah, which does require glossos, but for some reason glossos were not put up. That's even the Mishnah Berurah would agree that that's negligent. That's transgressing. However, it's only this is the Rabbanan, therefore we're not going to say anything. This is different. Here you have a legitimate poskim, great poskim, many Rishonim who say that in order for an area to be Rosh Hashanah, you need those 600,000. If you don't have those 600,000, it's not a Rosh Hashanah. So if you came along and said to me, listen, I, Ploni Almoni, I have considered the issue, I've come to the conclusion that I am willing to rely on those poskim who say you need 600,000 people in order to make Rosh Hashanah. You, Reb So-and-so, do not. I respect your opinion, but I want a native. Within your rights. He can build a native for you. He doesn't have to carry, but he can build a native for you. So if there's a mass clamor to build a native, so then the person, the native can be built. You can't force a person who doesn't want to carry is legitimate too. He's a Baal Nefesh, and a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. But, you know, this is a, you know, freedom of religion. You're entitled to demand a native in that case. So, we'll see now. However, it gets a little bit more complex than this. If this is the case, then there would be almost no street, except, let's say, Western, for argument's sake, perhaps would be considered to be a street which might be Rishon LeZion, but in the immediate vicinity, besides Western and I-94, we wouldn't have any street which would be Rishon LeZion. Okay? So it gets a little bit more problematic than that. Let's see the other lines which I have underlined here in the Bir Halacha. He brings down here first in a little bit greater detail. He brings down the three lines from the bottom. Muchal Shiesh Lachmir Kedei Rishonah. It's clear that when I see Machmer like the first day, oh, that's the Mishnah Berurah's own personal opinion. I'm going to skip the brackets. When we come, nonetheless, ain't but a cause limchos b'adam kilo. We do not have the power to protest against those who are mekel. Shem somchim al poskim. They rely on those poskim omdim b'shitas ha-bahav, who are in the sheet of the bahav, who was in very early Rishon, v'rashi, both in his 600,000. And now, on his current level, which we mentioned previously. Avakoy reishamayim, but anybody is a reishamayim. V'vada yesh lachmer l'atzo, definitely should be machmer for himself. The bizmanenu yesh gamkin rishus rabbi natura, that there is rishus rabbi midah raisa in our day and age. We mela, therefore, ain't we smoke al erev shul tzuras ha-pesach. One cannot rely on erev of tzuras ha-pesach. The ba'inan davkat losos, any street which is more than 28 feet wide, which is most streets, would require losos. Okay, and that's prohibitively expensive. Nobody would ever do that. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah is saying about Yerusha Mai Shri Machmir for himself. Now, there's an additional important point in Mishnah Berurah, which if you take a look on the second page or on the overleaf, you'll see where I have it on. Which is paved outside cities. And you go on this highway year to year from city to city, from country, from province to province, till the end of the world. It doesn't make a difference if you have 600,000 people or not. Since it belongs to the entire world, even if there are less than 600,000 people traversing it, it is Rosh Hashanah. Ava b'tocha here, both in the city. In A, ain't from Rosh Hashanah below Shishim Ribo. There's no Rosh Hashanah without 600,000 to the heavy Kedigli Midbar, which would make it parallel to the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, who had 600,000 people. Okay, now, this is an important point. We pass in this way, Aloch L'maisa. Many Achronim pass in this way. That there, even though in a city you require 600,000 people in order to constitute Rosh Hashanah, a highway, such as I-94. Or I think maybe even a street like Milwaukee Avenue. I'm not sure, but Milwaukee Avenue, that's the way I understand by which people used to go from Chicago to Milwaukee. That's why it's called Milwaukee Avenue. So the fact that they built I-94 doesn't detract from the fact that that's an intercity highway. Okay? The fact that it has traffic lights on it doesn't really make it less a highway. So therefore, a street like that might not require 600,000 people in order to be considered Rosh Hashanah. Okay? A highway which goes from city to city is Rosh Hashanah even without 600,000 people. But within a city, you need 600,000 people, according to a great many poskim, and one is entitled to rely on those poskim if he so desires. You would have to at least get outside of Tchum Shabbos. You'd have to have at least 2,000 amos of open space between municipal areas in order to consider a separate city. So you don't have a separate city until you go quite far north from Chicago. Okay.
Which is from the drive. I mean, it's not
straight.
Today we would call it several different streets, but at one point in time that might have been.
Okay, it has to be. First of all, it has to be mufulash. It has to go straight. Okay, the bend.
Can't have bends.
No, can't have bends. I mean, it has at least not dramatic bends. So since it has a dramatic bend, that might invalidate the Shusha Rabin status. Besides that,
if you say it's got a dramatic bend, there's probably no dramatic bend. The states that would qualify. Every one of them has got the very dramatic bend.
Well,
it's very strange.
I'm not sure about that, but perhaps. Okay, we'll come back to that point later on, perhaps next week.
Andy,
anyway.
Compared to New York.
What?
Andy, compared to New York is strange.
Yeah, it seems pretty strange to me. But also, I've driven 94 quite often from here to Detroit. Pretty straight. So, I don't know. We'll leave that point a little bit later, okay?
We'll get back to something else.
By the way, I see we're not going to finish this week, so we're going to continue. If you don't mind, we'll continue next Tuesday night. So,
what about water come in?
Water?
Yeah, we mentioned before, ocean, sure. River, a lake.
That question arose with Manhattan.
That's why I'm asking the question of Manhattan, because it's all surrounded by water. Why would there be a shadow?
So if you have a seawall, that was in 1957. Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Eisenstadt wanted to be Mater Manhattan to carry anywhere in Manhattan, because Manhattan is totally surrounded by seawalls. The city of Manhattan looks like this.
A circle.
Basically. Okay, and it's surrounded by seawalls.
That's Long Island.
Well, up and down. Manhattan's up and down. So Manhattan is surrounded by seawalls, and the seawalls are mostly 10 fucking high. Now, they while he was alive, Rabbi Eisenstadt took a Circle Line cruise every year to check see, I'm from New York, I know all these things. He used to take a Circle Line cruise in order to check the seawalls every year to make sure they were still standing. The problem is Rabbi Eisenstadt died in 1962, and nobody's checked since. But the principle which he stated was that the seawalls are considered to be walls of 10 fucking high, around the entire city. So even if you'll entertain the notion that there's a Rishus HaRabim within Manhattan, which is a possibility, Times Square might be a Rishus HaRabim, nonetheless there are mechitzos. The problem is, however, of course, the bridges. You have the George Washington Bridge over here, and you have the
Verrazano,
Staten Island,
Manhattan,
the Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge, all these bridges. So the question is whether those bridges are mevatel the mechitza, right? When the bridge, if a road would go through the wall, and it would be more than 10 fucking wide, that's a breach in the wall. Right?
The tunnels.
But what happens if the road goes above or below the wall? In other words, a bridge which goes above, or a tunnel which goes below. That's a major point of contention. Some poskim want it to be makel, especially taking into account that no bridges on the east side of Manhattan are more foolish than bridges on the west side of Manhattan. There are no bridges which go straight across, so you don't have no road which goes straight across. Rav Moshe Feinstein was machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that bridges are not considered to be cut off by the walls because they go above the walls. And since they go above the walls, you cannot rely on the walls beneath them. Yes, but it doesn't go across. The point is that it doesn't go across the Hudson into New Jersey. In other words, some folks want to say, again, we said before, it has to be straight through from city to city. So if it's not foolish from Queens into New Jersey, from the Bronx into New Jersey, then that would not be considered to be a problem. Okay, some folks wanted to say that. Okay, Mefula. Other posts can hold that that's not necessarily true. It only has to be foolish in one direction. But that's what they hold.
Wouldn't a city like Miami Beach, then it's on an island, and the only thing connected to the mainland is bridges that...
They're not bridges. You have causeways.
Causeways, and causeways are split by bridges.
All right.
Every one of the causeways has a bridge to it.
But you can build an Eruv on a bridge. You can't build an Eruv over water, but you can build an Eruv on a bridge. In other words, you can't, most poskim hold, if you have a body of water, you can't run a Turas HaPesach over water. If I have a river like this, let's say the river by the Chicago River. So if they wanted to create an Eruv between West Roger Park and Lincolnwood or Peterson Park, they would have to create an Eruv going across the bridge. You can't have the Turas HaPesach cross the water. In other words, the river stops. Here's your river, and here's a bridge. So you have to have your tourist of Pesach has to go across the bridge. And by the way, you really don't have to build anything because the bridge itself has walls, otherwise the cars would fall off. So you use the walls of the bridge, but you can't make a tourist of Pesach like that. that's no good.
Don't the walls have to cross water.
We don't walk on water, so therefore our source of Pesach can't cross water.
But the walls have to be 10
feet. What? Yes, the walls on the bridge are 10 feet.
Not all of them. There are some bridges with very low walls.
Well, then you'd have to build up the bridges, the walls on those bridges.
Yeah, some bridges over to this one.
Okay. What were we talking about right before that?
The water, sure. See, because the reason I asked, getting back to what he said about Miami Beach.
Yeah.
Now they have an air there, and they have the air up to the boardwalk. Okay. Now the air is in front of the boardwalk. This is what I couldn't understand. The air. First of all, I don't understand why do they need an air if they have the ocean right after the boardwalk.
Well, because it's a beach. It's no seawall.
Okay.
A seawall has to be a wall. A seawall is a sort of retaining wall. The Manhattan Woody Road, if not for the fact that they had walls around it, they have a wall made out of a stone wall all around Manhattan. So the water comes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you have a beach which goes on a gradual slope, that's not a wall. The halacha is in general, the slope of a beach must be greater than 22 degrees in order for it to be considered a wall.
So let me get
okay,
back.
So if it's a, I assume in Miami they have very nice beaches, which
let
don't
me, let me get here. Back to the point. Their air is in front of the boardwalk.
Yes.
And they claim that the boardwalk is included in the air because the boardwalk is 10 feet off from the ground. But it's the air is in front of the boardwalk. So I says, how could the boardwalk be included in part of the air? Well, they said, being that it's somehow it's not connected.
You mean it's like this?
It's got light poles in front of the boardwalk.
How does it look? Let me ask.
The boardwalk, draw a straight line. That's the boardwalk.
That's the boardwalk. Can you hear your light poles?
Up, draw a line straight up and down. Okay, and your light poles are in front of it. In front.
You're walking here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the air was over here?
The air, that's the boardwalk, and right to the right, they have poles. Right to the right of that wall.
Let's say this is the right, yeah.
The right is this way. No.
Here.
Look at the table, and the depth perception is higher than that.
You have your wall there, that's your boardwalk right there. Okay, that's your boardwalk.
Then they have light poles standing up here.
Which way is the water?
The water is over here.
Yes.
So you have your beach here. Okay, so you give me your answer there because there's no seawalls.
Right.
But here's the boardwalk here. Here's your light poles.
Okay.
You've got your air connected here. The light poles are not connected to the boardwalk. So how could they say that the boardwalk is part of the air?
That's the boardwalk itself, that's talking right?
Yes. So how could you carry from here out to the boardwalk?
Because these light poles are not the air. I know we built the air. I don't know if it's reliable air.
Well, it's reliable.
But then obviously these poles are just for safety's sake, in case the boardwalk breaks in some place. Because obviously they're relying on this outer area here being the wall of the Eruv walls. In other words, since the height of the boardwalk over here is 10 fucking high from the ground, then that in and of itself constitutes the wall, the side of the boardwalk. And this is just, they're just ignoring.
I understand. I know they got wires hanging.
I don't know why they have the wires hanging there, but obviously they're not using them as part of the air. Anyway, next time you go down, ask the rabbi who created the air.
Everyone holds of many rooms.
And a lot of it is not. A lot of it is not even part of the boardwalk because the boardwalk doesn't go that far.
Right.
See, so the air is still including further north where there is no boardwalk, so they are using those light poles.
Maybe there they're using the light poles and not for the boardwalk.
Well, you can't connect. You have to connect the light. You cannot.
Like I say, I don't know exactly.
You cannot
air,
go
I don't know what he's lying on.
Boardwalk, and then, you know what I mean? It has to be consistent.
It's important to realize that not every air which you think is good is good. Even if a lot of people rely on an air. I'm telling you, about next week we'll get into a little further detail, but in Far Rockaway, where I lived before I came to Chicago, got an air which everybody relied on for 16 years. Everybody thought it was Kosher Lahajer. 16 years later, everybody found out it was puzzle from day one.
But now they coined it as a Kosher.
Now they fixed it up.
Yeah.
And
five towns also.
Five towns also, but for many years, the air was puzzle and nobody realized it. So Arab is a very tricky business. Okay?
Was it the Flatbush Arab?
Next week.
Oh.
It's already almost time for tomorrow. Flatbush Arab. The truth
very
is,
big shadow,
next week we'll get into the Rockaway Arab, the Flatbush Arab, and the Chicago Arab, because I haven't yet explained to you why Rav Aaron doesn't want an Arab in Chicago. We really haven't gotten down to it because we still haven't described why the 600,000 people, where are the 600,000 people which Osir, and that we have to see next week in Reb Moshe Feinstein, which is the last page of the handout. Okay, we'll have a marathon in about 2 minutes. Oh, by the way, please, if you just take a couple of minutes, if you have a couple of minutes, if everybody just answer this questionnaire, take a few minutes, it does help us with planning advertising.